The World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello and welcome back to the William Hill Daily World Cup podcast. We have three games to look forward to on Friday with Mexico against Cameroon getting underway first at 5pm. We then have Spain against Holland, a repeat of the 2010 World Cup final, set to be a cracker at 8pm. And we finish the day with Chile against Australia at 11pm this evening. Plenty to look forward to. We've also seen the first action of this year's World Cup as well, with Brazil beating Croatia 3-1. On Thursday evening, so we'll take a quick look back at that and how the betting has changed on the back of that. My name is Mark Walton. I'll be joined on this podcast by Ben Bramley, William Hill Radio's Ben Bramley, and we'll also be hearing from Robbie Savage as well from Brazil. He's previewed the three matches for us this evening. So starting with Ben, he joins me in the studio now. Welcome back to the World Cup Daily Podcast, Ben.
Yes, it doesn't seem long since I was last here, and that's because it wasn't, Mark. I'm here 24 hours since we were discussing the build-up to the World Cup, and now we're away in earnest, aren't we?
We are. We've had the first game of the World Cup, Brazil beating Croatia 3-1. Do you think Brazil were a little bit fortunate in that game?
Well, look, the first half was a good game of football. Really enjoyed the first half. But then the game was soured for me by the incident and the penalty and events thereafter, if I'm absolutely honest with you. I think there's so much pressure on Brazil as a nation to qualify for the second round of this tournament. The referee didn't need much of an invitation there to give a penalty. The one thing that I would say, though, is Lovren did give him a chance to give that penalty, didn't he? Put his hand on his shoulder, particularly when you see it from the side angle. You can't really give the referee an opportunity to give a penalty in that scenario, given we saw the protest before and after the game. I think there will be unholy scenes if Brazil didn't qualify for the second round. And it's a scenario that nobody can afford to happen. So doesn't come as a great surprise, but it just leaves a bit of a sour taste in the mouth. Do you agree with that?
It's not ideal, is it? It's not. I mean, if Brazil had gone out there and dazzled the world and did a shortening in the betting, which they have, because of that, it would have been fantastic for the tournament. But I suppose there is that little bit of a question mark about whether they should have had the penalty in, whether that changed the game. So
not just that, Mark, because there was an incident shortly after that where Olic was at the back stick and got Cesar fumbled across. Olic didn't touch him. He was nowhere near being out of play. Knocked the ball back and it was stuck in the back of the net. It was a perfectly legitimate goal. There was no reason on earth how you could disallow that. Olic didn't even go up with his arms, you know. It was just a straightforward header where he'd beaten Cesar to the ball. So it's not just the penalty, really. So it's easy to understand why Croatia would feel aggrieved with the series of decisions. In terms of Brazil, I was a bit disappointed with them, in truth. I thought Oscar had a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Clearly Neymar had a decent game, but I thought it revolved around Oscar for the most part. And Luis Gustavo had a decent game, as did David Luiz after his early mistake when he really should have picked up Jelovic for the goal. So I thought Brazil will have shortened in the betting on the back of that, weren't they? But I wasn't impressed with them, in all honesty.
Yes, they were 3-1 before the match last night. They're now 11-4 favourites for the World Cup, which isn't surprising, seeing as the one. We've also seen quite a shortening in Neymar, though. He was 10-1 to be top scorer before the first game. He's now 5-2 market leader to be top World Cup goal scorer. With two goals already in his first game, he's going to be quite hard to peg back already, isn't he?
Well, I was looking at this market last night and I saw a few people bemoaning on Twitter the fact that there's still 63 games to go, yet this guy was chopped into 5-2. And I didn't agree with it, because if you think how many goals it will take to win a golden boot, typically, what are you talking? 5 or 6 goals, 5 maybe for a share, 6 you've got a chance of the outright. In a team that are going to go deep, you see he took the first free kick, didn't he? He didn't take the one in the second half. I think Dani Alves might have blazed that over. He took the penalty. He's the orchestrator of everything and he gets every opportunity around the box. Now, he's already got 2 in the bank, Mark. He's going to have 6 more games in all likelihood if the market's correct and they do get to the final. I don't think it's a bad price at all at 5-2. I can see why he's been slashed. I'd far rather back him at 5-2 than Messi at 7-1, given that scenario. Do you agree with that, or what's your view around that?
Yeah, Messi's 6-1 at the moment, by the way.
6-1, is it?
Yeah, it was basically, if you priced up the market and gave Neymar a 2-goal head start, he would be 5-2, no matter what. So
he would. Well, clearly that's the case. I would make him a little bit shorter, and I guess that's the point. point, isn't it? What was he, 12-1 pre-tournament? Just a slight doubt. I don't know if you saw him pre-match where he was just hobbling around a little. So
he did take a bit of a knock towards the end as well, didn't he? He came off early and he was limping in the corner for a while. So
he was.
That is a bit of a concern.
It is a bit of his concern, as is the fact that there was also another incident where he could have been sent off. So this is the third of the incidents that we've talked about where he went up and he was looking for Modric a bit. I don't think he went with the point of his elbow, so I don't think that was a sending off personally. But you can see in a different set of scenarios, if that was a Croatian player or there's every chance with a different referee on a different day in a different country that could have been a sending off, no question.
Yep, I'd agree. Anyway, we'll leave that there. We'll move on unless there's anything else pressing from last night. I mean,
just in terms of the Croatians, I'd like to see Ivan Rakitic play a bit further forward. He was playing like as the deepest of the Croatian midfielders, and I don't think he's that positionally savvy. They were running rings around him a little bit. I think he needs to influence the game a little bit further up the pitch. Modric had a good game for my money, but I think they need to get Rakitic up there and to join him and to bring in a more solid defensive midfield player to get the best out of their midfield trio. Although they did play well. Modric played well. Perisic played well. Olic played well for the first 20 minutes and then he just seemed to go completely. And I'm not a Jelovic fan. So Croatia have still got a chance given that we've got Mexico and Cameroon in this group. And if they show the same kind of attitude they showed in the first game, they'll have a sniff. But I'd just like to see those little tactical changes.
Yes, I was encouraged by Croatia. They could have been overrun at times. And I thought they stayed in the game quite well. I think it's encouraging they'll get results in the rest of the game.
They got down the flanks pretty well. Yeah. Before they scored, there was a ball whipped in from Olic that wasn't converted, and Brazil didn't heed the warning, and the second one was the one that led to the own goal, you know. So they were definitely vulnerable down the flanks there, Brazil, and Croatia exposed them in that area, which augurs well for their own chances against Mexico and Cameroon, doesn't it?
Mm. And those two meet today, the second match in Group A, and Mexico are 5-4, the draw 2-1. And Cameroon 13-5. It's the first thing to mention for this game, Ben, is that it's Brazilian time. It's a 1 p.m. kickoff in Natal, So it's going to be very hot and it's going to be very humid. And I know these are two sides that probably will deal with the heat better than some, but it's going to have an impact on the game, isn't it?
It is, and Cameroon haven't been lucky in the draw in that respect because on Wednesday they play Manaus, so it doesn't get any easier for them, does it? But, you know, you would think it would be easier for these two teams to acclimatise than it would for your typical European side. Mm. I know we talked yesterday around whether the climate will affect the outcome of the tournament. Well, certainly in this instance for this game, you've got two teams that would be accustomed to quite draining conditions. Given the result last night, I think Mexico and Cameroon will be relatively cautious. I think the price on under 2.5 goals is extremely skinny here in this match, like the 4-9, 1-2 mark, isn't it, if you can just dig it out here. But both teams have got reasonable attacks, haven't they? If you look at Uribe Peralta for Mexico, Giovanni Dos Santos, and of course they've got Hernandez as well, so they've got three handy strikers, but that under 2.5 is pretty short, isn't it?
Yeah, 4-9 is very short.
Yeah, that's not atypical under 2.5 price, but we saw some good attacking play last night, didn't we? And hopefully that lays down a marker for the tournament. I don't know, what's your view on Cameroon here? They've got Samuel Eto'o leading the line, but I'm not sure. I wasn't expecting any of the African teams to have big tournaments in truth, and I'd put Cameroon in that bracket.
Yes, well, like you say, they've got Samuel Eto'o, who is an ageing striker, and we've seen him at times for Chelsea this year play quite well, but you just wonder in the heat how much his legs are going to have in them. To be fair, Cameroon are a hard team to work out. They beat Moldova, which you'd expect them to beat last time in a friendly. They got a 2-2 draw with Germany, which isn't a bad result.
Yep.
But then again, they've lost to the likes of Paraguay. They got hammered by Portugal in another friendly, so they're a bit of a weird side to work out.
Yeah, very much so. They've got some pretty ropey form, haven't you? I think you're right about Eto'o. I put relied in inverted commas that Mourinho relied upon him. He was the best of his three strikers, but he didn't have implicit faith in him. Mm. He had some good games this season, didn't he? But no, he didn't strike you as the kind that would relish this kind of task. Although, as we've seen before with Cameroon, it's almost the scenario where he's playing his own game, isn't he? He picks up and takes everything, and he sometimes comes too deep for Cameroon because he wants to influence the game in all areas of the park. So, you know, you'll have a guy there that's running and doing everything for you, but will that be enough against this Mexican defence? Just back to that under 2.5, by the way, 8 of Cameroon's last 9 tournament games, have had under 2.5. So, you know, while we're talking about form 4-8 12 years ago, it does tell you, doesn't it, that Cameroon have a very defensive mindset when it comes to tournament football. So you can see why it's priced so short. I think I would probably be looking here at a 1-0 Mexican win. Or perhaps I might even go for the goalless stalemate. I do know this Mexican team does have an attacking triumvirate there, a really handy players, but I'm not sure, given the weather that you've already outlined and the fact that you could argue that both of these teams would now see a draw as being a reasonable result with a chance to have a pop at Croatia. I can really foresee that happening. So 0-0, 1-0 Mexico would be my kind of thinking in this game.
OK, well, 0-0 is 6-1. Mexico 1-0 is 5-1. And just going back to the goals for Cameroon, I'm just looking at the stats here. Samuel Eto'o's got 56 goals for Cameroon in his international caps. Mm. Beyond him, there's very little goals in the side. Choupo-Moting's got 12. And then barring that, there's Abubakar, who's got 2, Bia's got 3, and then no other player. Oh, Chedu's got 1 goal as well.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad strike rate, though, is it, for a Choupo-Moting there? 12 in 26. Everybody would take that as a 1 in 2. And Stefan Mbia, although he's only 3 in 51, he did score that key winner, didn't he, against Valencia, that critical goal in the Europa League semi-final in the very last minute that saw that team advance. So he's had a good season the back end. It looked like his career was in ruins when he was at QPR, but he's another guy that can influence the action there. Alex Song, as you say, 0 from 47, so probably he's one to duck from your goal scorer markets. And again, if you look at the likely back four, you've got one goal in about 130 appearances. So if you're looking for a Cameroonian goal scorer, it does kind of lead you to Eto'o or Choupo-Moting, doesn't it? And given that they're both reasonable prices, there could be a little bit of value to be extracted there. But from my point of view, Cameroon's tournament history tells you 8 of the last 9 have had under 2.5. Mexico, pretty tight themselves. Cautious first game for both teams. 0-0, 1-0 Mexico. I'm still going to spin that way, I think.
OK. Let's move on to the second game this evening. This is Spain against Holland. A real cracker to get stuck into at 8 p.m. Spain are 5-6. The draw 11-5. Holland 4-1. A repeat of the 2010 World Cup final, of course. And two sides that don't really like each other, Ben.
They don't like each other, no. I was looking at the back page of the Racing Post. I thought that was a really good headline on there. Enemies reunited, which kind of reinforces your point there about the fact that the teams don't like each other. How many yellow cards was it in that game, 2010? Was it something like 15 yellow cards brandished by Howard Webb? And I have to be honest with you, these are two teams that I don't think are going to do much in this World Cup. Holland, I've got real reservations here about these guys up front. Robin van Persie is such a temperamental player, he has to be the man. Iron Robin, clearly a temperamental player too, and you get the feeling that he has to be the man, you know. Wesley Sneijder, still a decent player, but playing his trade in Turkey, he's not the player he was 4 years ago. No. When he was steering into Milan to the Champions League title. And then you look at the defensive mids, Nigel de Jong, Jonathan de Guzman, and the defence doesn't fill me with confidence either. So I don't think the Dutch will go particularly deep in this tournament. I don't know what your view on them is.
No, I was one of the things I was looking at before the tournament was for Holland not to get out of the group. I think they have the tendency to implode at times. And have you seen the thing in training? They've already had trouble, apparently. Iron Robin and I can't remember the play now, but they were fighting in training.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah, no, I did see that. And that's kind of typical of Holland, isn't it? Mm. Throughout their tournament history, I think, what was it, Euro 96, we saw trouble amongst the camp there. And we've seen it on so many occasions where factions have emerged from within the camp. And when you've got so many temperaments that you've got, then you've got every chance of those combusting, haven't you? So I don't think they'll go pretty deep. I would have Spain and Chile as my likely runners from this group. But Spain themselves, you know, when you've got a team that are defending European and World Cup champions, what more do they really have to prove? They've kind of overcome that bit around the Real Madrid-Barcelona rivalry to unite and to become a force in winning both tournaments. But the way that I think about that is at some point that has to subside and those rivalries are reunited in much the same way as the Racing Post say on the back page. You've only got to look at last night's game, haven't you? Neymar, Barcelona on Modric, Real Madrid. Mm. You know, it's that kind of thing that you think could just ignite in their team lineup at any moment. Although, given it hasn't happened in the last 4 years, when will it actually happen? But I think Spain would be a decent bet here. I think the Dutch will underperform in this tournament, and this will be the first sign that they'll be on their way out.
Yeah. The one thing that really stood out to me in this game is the disciplinary records of the two countries. Spain, pretty well behaved. They don't really pick up bookings or red cards. Holland do, historically. They picked up plenty through qualifying. They obviously picked up a lot in the final when these two sides met last time, including a chest-high flying kick in the match. And Holland are 4-6 to pick up most booking points here. I know it's fairly short, but I think it's one of the more obvious bets for tonight.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Nigel de Jong, wasn't it, with the chest-high spinning heel kick, I think we'll call that one. A chap called Rizzoli that's in charge tonight. A World Cup qualification, 3 games, 6 yellows. So, you know, an average of 2 there. I know it's a very small sample, but clearly he wasn't a serial brandisher in those games. But, yeah, you can see it, can't you? Nigel de Jong, if he plays, is a walking card, isn't he? No question about that. Ron Vlaar is a pretty uncompromising centre-back. But on the other side, you know, he'd say Sergio Ramos. He likes to get stuck in as well, doesn't he? Mm. But with the creative players up top for Spain, you know, your Silvers, your Xavis, your Iniestas, you're not really expecting those to go in the book. So if you're looking for a short one, I can see that at 4-6. But I think Spain will just play their way and pick their way around these two Dutch holding midfielders. And I can see, again, I don't like to go for too many goals in the opening round of these tournaments, ordinarily. I could see something like a Spain win 1-0 and a few tantrums in the Dutch ranks.
Okay, another stat to throw at you for this, Ben. Spain have never trailed at any stage during their qualifying campaign and twice let winning positions slip late, but they did win the majority of the games they were in front and they never went behind. So I was thinking half-time, full-time result, you could go Spain at 15-8 if you want a bit of a better price on Spain.
You could. I mean,
look for them to win the first half, maybe.
There are stats galore with Spain, aren't there? I know we're not into the actual knockout round now, but have I read somewhere that they haven't conceded a goal in knockout football for about 8 or 10 games? It's absolutely ridiculous. But I suppose you've got to remember that they did lose a game, didn't they, in the last tournament to Switzerland, am I right in saying? In the first round, I think they did lose an early game before recovering and then becoming so defensively stoic. So yeah, I can see that. They are based on defence. Again, it's one of these sides that when they were underperforming many years ago, the defence wasn't as solid as it is now. Clearly they've built themselves an excellent platform. They simply don't concede goals in big-time tournament football, do they? So even though you've got two talented strikers having a pop at them, Robin, you know the game with that, don't you? They'll check onto the left foot and have a cut inside, but you'd like to think that Jordi Alba would be wise to that. Yeah, you can see Spain locking them out, and in that case, 15-8, half-time, full-time, yes. Narrow win, 1-0, round about 5-1, is it, something like that?
9-2,
yeah. I think that's a reasonable bet.
Okay, so you're going for a narrow Spain winning that, yeah?
I'm going for a narrow Spain win in that, yep. I'm expecting Holland. I think there's an outside chance, you know, that they finish bottom of this group. We'll see what the Australians are all about tonight. If you can just dig us out a price on that. They play Australia on Wednesday, 5 p.m. at Porto Alegre. We'll see what Australia are about tonight after the game against Chile. But Holland are the sort of country that if they don't hit their straps running, that they could fold pretty quickly. And given they've got such a tough assignment first up against Spain, there's a bit of a chance that could happen. So what kind of price are we talking?
Holland to finish bottom of the group.
Yeah.
7-1.
7-1. I think that's a reasonable punt. I've got high hopes for Chile in this World Cup, let alone this group. Spain, they can't finish bottom. And Australia, if they just surprise, you know, it's not impossible. We've seen it with New Zealand in the last World Cup, that these countries, the Australasian countries, are capable of winning games. Yeah, that could be a reasonable bet.
Okay, let's move on to Australia's game then. That's the final one of the evening. Kickoff at 11 p.m. They take on Chile. It's 4-9 for Chile. Draw 16-5. Australia 8-1. Australia are expected to be the whipping boys of this group by a lot of people, Ben. And Chile are a lot of people's dark horses for the competition, or at least to get to the knockout stages. So, do you see this game following suit to kick us off straight away?
I kind of do, yeah. But Australia are an entertaining team. You know, they base their game plan on attack. While you look at the lineup and think Tim Cahill Cahill up front is more of a midfielder, I guess, isn't he? He's more of a number 10 type player than an out-and-out striker. They do encourage their midfielders to join in the attack, and you've only got to look at some of their recent friendlies. Although they weren't particularly high-scoring games, they were relatively open, not more so than that game against Ecuador that ended up 4-3 to the Ecuadorians. And Chile are the team that I'm probably most looking forward to seeing in this tournament out of the entire lot. You've only got to look back to that game at Wembley where they absolutely swamped England, didn't they? What was it? 2-0? But it could have been any number. They're so attractive to watch. They don't play in conventional positions. Alexis Sanchez is an absolute dream of a player. And again, everything goes through him for the Chileans. Eduardo Vargas, he didn't have a great time at Napoli, but he's rediscovered his form. And again, he's got a superb international record, 14 from 30. Some strike force. The only thing that slightly worries me about Chile this evening is Arturo Vidal, who's their power and presence in the midfield, is injured or likely to be injured for this game. That's my only downside. But Chile, good side to watch, aren't they?
They are. They're entertaining. They've got pace and the fluidity, like you say, that they don't have set positions, so to speak. They kind of all move around. It's very entertaining to watch. And the two players to concentrate for me in terms of attacking prowess are obviously Sanchez, as you mentioned, and Eduardo Vargas. He's scored a few goals for them in recent weeks or recent friendlies, and he's a potent threat as well. And those are 5-4 and 6-4 any time if you fancied.
They're interesting because when you look at any time goal scorers, Mark, you've got to think about the likelihood of goals in the game, haven't you? So if you look at a game like Spain versus Holland, you think it's going to be fairly tight. Even though you've got an array of attacking talent, you've got teams that are fairly defensively sound. You're expecting a lower goal threat in the particular match. But when you look at the Australian game, you think that they're vulnerable. And given that they're vulnerable, who is going to score the goals? Well, it goes without saying, doesn't it? Sanchez and Vargas. Vargas went to Valencia, didn't he? And just kind of reignited his career after a big money move to Napoli hadn't quite worked out. I think he might be back at Napoli for the upcoming season, having kind of proved his credentials again. But I think they're both reasonable bets. This is the kind of game where I can envisage Australia scoring, but it's the one game of the day where I think there will be quite a few goals. I'd be looking at something like Chile 3, Australia 1. That'd be my kind of angle on this game.
Okay, Chile to win 3-1 is 12-1, so nice bit of value there. I like the look of the headline offer here as well, Ben. Alexis Sanchez to score and Chile to win is 2-1. I don't think that's a bad price.
No, that's decent. If you think it's 5-4 any time, you'd kind of think that if he scores, it's inevitable that Chile win this game. So what you've got to do is correlate that 5-4 any time with the 2-1 for them to win the game too. Is there sufficient rub there for you to be happy to take the inflated price? I think there is. 2-1, Chile to win and Alexis Sanchez to score. Again, there's been a slight injury doubt over him, but this is a player who plays second fiddle effectively to Messi at Barcelona. But when he's in a Chilean shirt, he is the man. There is no question about that, and he's an absolute joy to watch. I can see him absolutely lighting up this tournament. He's the sort of player that I'd be interested in for the Golden Ball, and he could even be a Golden Boot sniffer as well. So those two players hold some interest to me. Golden Boot and to be in the action tonight, and perhaps both scoring, it wouldn't come as a big surprise. Have you got the combined goal scorer market? Can you dig that fellow out?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find him in the top goal scorer market. He must be fairly low down in the prices.
Sanchez?
Yeah.
He'd be around about 50s, I would imagine, Mark. Around about the 50-1 mark, somewhere around there.
40-1.
40-1, yeah. And Vargas, around about 66s, something like that. Look, both
66s. Yeah.
They're both good players, aren't they? They're both... This Chilean team, because they are so entertaining, they're going to score goals. You know, I think the games against Spain and the Dutch will have goals because Chile come forward and play the game. The old Kevin Keegan mantra, we'll score more than you, and it'll be a joy to watch in all likelihood. So let's see what they do. Okay. Just the other market I'd just ask you to have a little look at here. What's the price on Sanchez and Vargas to score? I know there's loads of different categories there. If you have a look under the goal scorers, we've already said Sanchez 5-4 any time, Vargas 6-4. What sort of price are we talking both of them to score?
First goal scorer is coupled, so that's Sanchez or Vargas is 8-5. To have them both scoring any time score is doubled. Sanchez and Vargas to score any time, 5-1.
Right, now that's interesting. I'm interested in both of those. When you started saying those two together, I was thinking it might be a little bit shorter, kind of around the 11-8 mark. So 8-5 holds some interest, and both to score at 5-1. Yeah, I think that's a really sporting bet in this game. So 3-1, I'm going to go for the correct score at 12-1. Both of them to score at 5s. Yep, put me down for that. I'm interested in that bet.
Okay, good stuff. We've talked about plenty of markets there then, Ben, and all three games this evening. If I were to ask you for a standout bet, which one screams out to you most?
Ooh, you're asking there, aren't you? Let's have a little look here. I think Spain will beat the Dutch. I'm expecting the Dutch to have a pretty low-grade tournament. And I'm going to take them to win to nil as well. I know I've put up the 1-0 correct score there for the Spanish over the Dutch. But I'm going to take them to win to nil because I could see this perhaps even being 2, maybe even 3 at a push. So the Dutch to win to nil, what sort of price are you giving me there?
Spain to win to nil.
Sorry, Spain to win to nil, apologies. Yep.
6-4.
6-4. Yep, I'm going to give that one a spin as well. Spain to win to nil. Best bet of the night, Spain to win to nil, 6-4.
Okay, good stuff. The next three games of the World Cup coming up this evening should be a very entertaining evening. Thank you very much, Ben. Enjoy it.
Yeah, will do, Matt. Thank you.
Okay, the thoughts of Ben Bromley then on the three games this evening. We can now go to Robbie Savage, who's over in Brazil, and he's previewed the three games for us this evening. Starting with the first kickoff, Mexico take on Cameroon. Let's get Robbie's thoughts on who he thinks will win this.
Well, I think Mexico can count themselves fortunate to be here. Two late goals for USA against Panama in injury time, seeing Mexico get to the World Cup. So I think it's a very poor Mexico team. Never recaptured a form from, you know, when they won the Olympic gold against Brazil. Chicharito doesn't look like he'll start, so I'm going to go with a Cameroon win. I think Cameroon, watched them in a recent friendly against Germany, drew 2-2. Big, strong, powerful side, you know, good spine of the team with Song, the goalkeeper. Looks decent too, so, you know, can Eto score a goal? So I think Cameroon to win and to win to nil.
Okay, so Robbie going for a Cameroon win and a Cameroon win to nil as well. He doesn't see Mexico on the score sheet this evening. The second match on Friday is Spain against Holland, a repeat of the 2010 World Cup final. Spain coming out on top on that occasion, of course. Who does Robbie think will come out on top this evening?
I think Spain will win this. I think Holland are quite a poor Dutch side. You know, a lot of their back four play in Holland, not the strongest league. You know, probably the exception of Vlaar, who's at Aston Villa, didn't have a great season. All their hopes are, you know, possibly on Robbie Van Persie. Strootman's a massive blow, him being out. You've got to fancy Holland to get one, but I think Spain could get 2 or 3 in this game. I think big decision for Spain is, do they change philosophy and go with that big target man in Diego Costa, or do they play with no centre forward and put Fabregas, Iniesta, Xavi, Busquets, whoever, you know, the way they move around, interchange. I think he might start with Diego Costa. If he does, I'll go with the Diego Costa goal and Spain to win 2-1.
And the final game tonight is Chile against Australia. So let's go back to Robbie in Brazil to get his thoughts on the final game of the evening.
Well, Australia, as you say, they've got some fantastic support here, but Chile are my dark horses for the tournament. I think they've got some exceptional players. Alexis Sanchez, who I tipped to, you know, to be one of the stars of the tournament. Vidal, who had a great season for Juve. Gary Medel, who plays, you know, in that quarterback role. So I think Chile will beat a very poor Australian side, not the Australian side of old. I'll go Chile to win to nil, and I don't think Australia will win a group in the win a game in the group. So Chile to win to nil.
So there you go, the thoughts of Robbie Savage on tonight's matches. We've also heard from Ben Bramley. Plenty to look forward to on the second day of the World Cup. Enjoy the games, good luck with that, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next edition of the World Cup Daily Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.